Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. And hey, you're listening to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivation to get stuff done for your king. That would be King Jesus. And so we're excited that you're tuning in today. Hey, share this with a loved one. Let them know about the podcast. If it's blessed you and encouraged you in any way, share it with somebody. Let us know. Send us an email. hello@gracecitychurch.tv or call us 870-741-9099. Leave a message. We'd love to hear how the podcast has been a blessing to you. Hey, we got a great episode today, and I'm joined with some joined in the studio by some very good friends, Pastor Christina, Pastor Bob. Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And hey, this is our eighth episode. Really excited about it. So we're going to wrap up this series, and we just pray that this whole series, the authority of the believer, has been a blessing to you. We're going to wrap it up today, so we're going to tie this off with a nice bow.
Do we have the authority to do that?
I'm taking it today.
All right. Praise God.
And, yeah, somebody's got to do something. So
you're the boss.
This has been good. I mean, we could go on and on. And obviously, this is a reoccurring topic that we want to touch on from time to time. So we'll swing back by around this again in the future. But we pray that you've really been encouraged. Now, listen, yeah. In light of everything going on, you know, we could easily have done a podcast on current events. We could come in here and just talk news. But sometimes that isn't really sufficient.
Boring. Yeah.
Boring. We are human beings, totally. But yet we are born again. I pray you are. If you're not born again, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. Amen. But we're born again. We are not of this world, although we're in it. We are sent ones, ambassadors of the kingdom, representatives, part and parcel, members and participants of the body of Christ. You are hands and feet of the King himself. And so we have to come at some of this at a little bit different angle. While our point of impact engages the intersection with the earth's activities, totally. But listen, we are coming from a kingdom's perspective. And so while we could sit up here and talk about current events, not that we won't, it's not that we won't mention this and that, but we want to encourage you, give you the tools that you need to where you can be effective as a kingdom representative. Listen, we are facing unseen realms, unseen forces, spiritual beings, and they're operating, the Bible calls it the power of darkness, and we are carriers of the light. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, and he calls us into dark places so that light can shine. And you need to know your authority when you go into a dark place so that you can enforce victory. You're not coming in there fighting and scrambling and wondering, you know, if you're going to win. No, we've already won. And so now he said, go preach this good news. Tell them that there's an anointing on you, that there's a power, dunamis power resident in you that can set captives free, heal the blind, heal the lame, heal broken hearts, open the door to the prisons. This is what we're doing, and you need to know your authority. When you come up against any kind of opposition or resistance, you know you can plow on through in the name of Jesus. So be believing with us today as we kind of wrap this up. This is part eight, and we're going to jump right into this. Guys, you ready to jump into this morning?
Yes.
And we've been using as a reference really several books, but one in particular we kind of based this series on, just to kind of give us some parameters as we move forward and talk about some of these things. And I would encourage you to get a hold of this book by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's called The Believer's Authority. If you're watching us right now on YouTube or Facebook, I'm holding the book up. The Believer's Authority, you can get a hold of this. You can go to rhema.org. You can reach out to us. There are several places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever your favorite bookstore is, you can probably get a hold of this book. It's called The Believer's Authority, Kenneth E. Hagin. and 8 chapters. It's an easy read, but it'll give you a snapshot and really encourage you, kind of like a quick dose, to really encourage you about who you are in Christ Jesus. All of this is rooted in who we are in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read you something really quick out of another little book that would be a benefit to you, The Authority of the Believer and How to Use It by Dr. Billy Brim. And just real quick, all of this really comes down to the revelation that was given to us out of the epistles. And I'm going to read you this little quick couple paragraphs here from Dr. Billy's book. And she says this: the principles of the authority of the believer are set forth in the New Covenant letter to the body of Christ. Listen to this. All the Bible is for the church, but not all the Bible is about the church. That's very important, friend. And a lot of people get off because they don't recognize there's three people groups in the Bible. There's the nations, there's the Jews, and then there's the church. That's the three people groups in the Bible. There are two people groups in the Old Testament, the nations, the goyim, the Hebrew word, and the Jews. And then there's a third people group introduced in the New Testament, and that's the born-again believers. The Bible refers to them as the church, or the ecclesia, or the body of Christ. So while all the Bible is for the church, not all the Bible is about the church. The part of the Bible that is particularly about the church is the New Testament epistles. The epistles tell you, watch this, who you are, what you are, and what you have. Why? Because you are now in Him. Before you were born again, you were not in Him. You were not a member of the body of Christ. After you were born again, Peter says you were born of the Word. Now you're part and parcel with Him. Now you are in Him, and now the epistles, the letters, are written to you. It's revelation. It's disclosing. It's revealing a mystery. Bible mysteries are hidden things, but Bible mysteries are not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. There's revelation in these letters written to the body members of Christ, the church, telling us who we are, what we are, and what we have in Him. And she goes on to say, Ephesians, even among all the epistles, is particularly pertinent to us today. And so we've kind of hung out over the last 7 parts of this series. We've hung out a lot in Ephesians because, in particular, that letter really dives into talking about who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, listen, when we say you have authority, we're only saying that you have authority because you're a part, you're a member, you're a participator in the body of Christ. If you're not born again, you don't have the authority that we're talking about. You may have a physical presence, you may have muscles and guns, but we're talking about spiritual authority by way of, by birthright, by inheritance of the victory that Christ won over death, hell, and the grave, and the keys that He has in His own hands, which have now been given. Come on, the hand holds keys. I don't open my door by putting my key in my mouth. I put the key in my hand. And so the keys that Christ has have been given to the body to wield and to use. And so when we're talking about the authority, we're talking specifically about those who are born again. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Listen, the earth is still waiting for your revealing. That's what Romans tells us. And the demon hordes of hell, the demons that are on the earth and the principalities that are in the air, they are shaking and quaking in their boots when they come across somebody who really knows who they are. They're just getting away with stuff right now unless there's enforcement. I was thinking about this on the way in. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here, but I was thinking about this defund the police thing. Mm-hmm. Total garbage, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
But I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, wow, what a strategy. What a crazy strategy. Because in the spirit realm, we are law enforcers.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're law enforcement.
Yeah.
We're talking about spiritual laws, heavenly laws, God's will. He said, pray this way, thy will be done on the earth. And then he talks about binding and loosing. Those are judicial terms, Greek judicial terms, luo and deo, or luo and duo, something like that, those Greek words. Those are judicial terms. What are you in the spirit? You are a law enforcement representative. This whole defund the police thing, it's an Antichrist agenda. Why is it Antichrist? Because the spirit of Antichrist does not want the heavenly laws enforced. Well, but we're going to do it anyways. Praise the Lord.
There is spirits behind that movement, defund the police.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to say a spirit of greed is probably in there. There's probably a spirit of pride in there.
Definitely pride.
Rebellion.
Rebellion, which is a spirit of witchcraft.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's, you know, it's interesting that the whole LGBT movement is coined by pride. It's the pride movement.
Mm-hmm. Me first.
Me first. Me, me, first. Me. Mine. What's that movie?
Despicable Me. Or maybe I'll say Despicable
that,
You.
That might fit.
I don't want to claim it.
No, finding Nemo, and he comes upon all these seagulls, you know, and they're going, mine.
I got my cartoons mixed up.
Sorry. Hollywood. That's another podcast, by the way. Okay. But we want to encourage you today, and not just encourage you. Like, you can't just be a hearer. Listen, the Bible says if you're just a hearer only and not a doer, you're going to set yourself up for deception. So this podcast isn't just about tickling your ear. This isn't about, you know, some sort of like, oh, well, that sounds nice. The idea here is that you're going to get off the couch and you're going to go do something. You're going to suit up. And you're going to get in the game. We did a podcast where we're talking about put me in, coach. Stop being sidelined. Get your armor on. Our last podcast, listen to that. We talked about put on the armor. Get your armor on so that you can get out there and get in your place, get in your rank amongst your fellow believers, brothers and sisters, other body parts in Christ, and get out there and let's get some stuff done for our King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, guys, what do you got?
Bob?
Well,
Christina is so kind. She defers so easy.
Well, like you said, we're basing this on the Believer's Authority by Brother Hagin. And he starts in this thing, and one of the things that he says in Chapter 8, he's talking about the authority over demon spirits.
Demons.
Not human wills. And that's one of the things we got to keep in mind, especially in today's confusing world with all the rhetoric that's going on out there, the things that we see in the news, and we see people going in and grabbing people out of their cars and beating them up and different
totally
things
crazy.
Like that. And, you know, we do not have authority over that person, but we do have authority in the spirit realm that can influence those people. But there are some people we can't even call out that spirit that is working in them.
Bob, wouldn't you say, I mean, there's been some really crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Would you, I mean, it's obvious that some of this, like, the, you know, they're not, so, there's demon motivation. There is definitely spiritual influences behind a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
we agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we're saying. While you may not have particular authority over that person's will, but if they have yielded themselves, let's say, to demonic influence, a voice, you know, like, I'm not referencing a particular situation, but, you know, different stories that I've heard over the years, and somebody say, well, I heard a voice tell me to do that. Well, yeah, you did. And when you acted and obeyed that voice, you came under spiritual influence, maybe even control, demonic control. And so this is like real time. If you're in a situation and there is demon activity going on, strife, the Bible says where there's strife, selfish ambition, envy, contention, there's every evil work. And so a lot of these, you know, quote, protest, aka they are funded riots, ridiculous, come on. But in some of these riots. There is so much demon activity. There's so much hatred. There's so much selfish ambition. There is so much delusion. There is demonic activity present. And so if somebody's coming up to your car, I think that's what you just referenced, Bob. Somebody comes up to your car, you may not have authority over Joe, right? Joe there. Joe, mm-hmm. Whoever Joe is. Maybe Tom. What's his name? Sally? I don't know. Okay? But you don't have authority necessarily over that person's will. But see, if they are under the influence of a demonic spirit, see, this is where you need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to understand there's an unseen, just because it's unseen in the natural realm, doesn't mean it's not real. And you need to be able to take your authority over that situation right there in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what the person's name is. That's, at this point, the least of our concerns in the moment. But you need to have the confidence you can rise up in the name of Jesus and you say, peace, be still in Jesus' name. Or, no, you're not going to shoot me. Or, no, you know, I command you to get away from my car right now in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you this story. One time many years ago, I was riding my bike through this neighborhood, and this German Shepherd just come out of nowhere. In fact, this happened to me twice. I'll tell you both stories. And this German Shepherd just come out of nowhere. Well, I mean, immediately, dude, in the natural, I was freaked out. But I just said, in the name of Jesus, stop. Just like, I mean, it was just like a second nature. Praise the Lord. And dude, that dog just like came to a stop and was like freaked out. It's like, it just went weird. Like he just didn't know what was going on. Well, I took authority over that situation. Well, that happened to me a second time. I was actually staying at my pastor's house, and they were out of town or something, and I had parked my car in the garage, which was kind of in the back of the house, and I was walking around to the front of the house. I think I was going to water the plants, and this dog comes around the corner, just, I mean, gnarly, rah, 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 rah. And I did the same thing, in the name of Jesus, stop. And that just instantly, that dog stopped growling, stopped barking, just kind of turned around and ran off. What is that? It's authority. It's authority. You can take your authority. You don't have to be in a situation and be taken advantage of. See, the Bible says that the way the devil can take advantage of you is if you're ignorant of his devices. And in some of these setups and situations, now you need to be wise. You need to be wise. You don't want to go somewhere the Holy Spirit's told you don't go.
Yeah, you need to be Spirit-led.
So, well, okay, let me throw this story in since I kind of brought that in mm-hmm. to the situation. So, Keith Moore, he pastors a church in Branson, Missouri, which is just 30 minutes north of where we live or where our ministry is, and then Sarasota, Florida. But he used to work for Kenneth Hagin in Tulsa. And one day he was answering phones in the call center. And this lady calls, and she's crying, and she's just freaked out. She had just got mugged. And so he's talking to her, ministering to her. And she said, I just don't understand it. I claim Psalms 91. I prayed Psalms 91. And conversation went on. Finally, they got to this point where the lady said, that actually, before she got up or before she went out of her house and went down this particular road, she said the Holy Spirit told her, don't go that way. Well, she violated the leading of the Holy Ghost. She went that way anyway. See, she thought that she could claim Scripture, but yet disobey the Holy Ghost and still be safe. No, it all works together. In fact, there's a scriptures, was it 1st or 2nd John, where it says that the Word and the Spirit, they agree. So the Holy Ghost isn't going to work against the Word, and the Word isn't going to work against the Holy Spirit. They're one. They agree. And so in these situations, you can't disobey the leading of the Holy Ghost and then say, well, I'll just use my authority. No. That all works together as one. So make sure you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Then you can function in that authority with great confidence.
Well, you know, in Acts chapter 16, that's a perfect example of being led by the Holy Spirit, because Paul and Timothy and whatnot, they're, it says in verse 6, he says, now when they, let's see, hold on, get my...
Where at?
Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. You read that and you go, wow, the Holy Spirit would not let them go preach the word there. Huh. You know, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes he's going to say, I don't want you going to XXX town over here.
Right.
And he's got a reason. He may not tell you the reason, but there's a reason for you not to go there. And I see some of these people where they have driven in or walked into some of these situations that we see going on in the big cities, and they're being beat up or their cars are being attacked. And I thought, if they had been led by the Holy Spirit, they may not have turned down there.
Right.
Or they may not even have left to go there.
Right.
It's important. Need to be Spirit-led.
It's important, because the Holy Spirit and the Word are working together.
Yes.
As one.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit isn't going to lead you somewhere and then your authority not work. You know what I mean? Like, if you're under unction, you're right in the perfect will of God. Everything's going to work. Everything's going to flow. But if he said turn left, but you turn right and say, oh, it's okay, I'll use the word. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember years ago, a gentleman that went to our church, he was leaving to come to worship practice, and he just kept feeling like, hang on, hang on. And so I think he said he hung on probably 10 or 15 minutes. And when he went to head this way, there was an accident on the way, and it had happened at the exact time he would have been there.
I'd say that's the Holy Ghost.
And it was a leading, and he saw it. And sadly, the accident that happened, there was a fatality.
Oh,
but
wow.
The Lord protected him.
Wow, yes.
So praise the Lord, he listened and he avoided it.
We believe that. And praise the Lord, we practice that. Hallelujah. Being led.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Hagin, in this book, he talks about how we have authority over the demon spirits, but not over human wills. And he talks about an incident where he was in a prayer line and he knew there was someone that had a demon. Now, we're not saying they were possessed. You can have a demon and not be possessed.
Not be possessed.
That's like, I can have shoes on, but they may not be clean. You know, they could have mud on them or something like that.
So that's the technical terminology then would be demonization versus possession.
Yeah.
That's another podcast, but yet still, it's good to know that. And let me just answer this question. Somebody's asking it right now. Can a Christian be possessed? No. If you are born again, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Your spirit, your recreated spirit, cannot be now under total dominion and control and possession of a demonic spirit. But in your soul, in your body, can you have a demon afflict you? Yes. That's what we're talking about here. And that's what Brother Hagin picked up in his spirit. This person in the line wasn't possessed, but they were demonized and a demon in their body. All right, Bob.
Okay, he goes on and he's talking about, he's coming up this line and he knows what man, the Spirit of God has revealed to him, what man had this spirit within him. And he goes, before the man stepped in front of me, I thought to myself, I am going to cast that thing out of him. I didn't say anything out loud. I just thought it. When he stepped up in place, before I could say anything, that man spoke up. The demon spoke through him, whining in a high-pitched nasal voice. You can't cast me out. You can't cast me out. You can't cast me out. Well, okay. Thank you.
I just added a little bit of that music for, you know, effect.
And Brother Hagin said, yes, I can. In the name of Jesus, he says, no, you can't. This man wants me to stay. And if he wants me to stay, I can. And Brother Hagin told the demonic spirit, you're right, and went on to the next person.
Wow.
We do not have that kind of influence over people, because some people want to retain.
Some do.
They want to cover.
Why?
They want to coddle. They want to love the demonic spirits that are working in their lives.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that hold on to those things. Mm-hmm. And I could probably go look in a mirror and see, yeah, Bob, you did that.
Right. I mean, we've all done it.
Yeah.
Sure.
not that everybody's been demonized.
No.
But we've all catered to the flesh. Mm-hmm. By the way, demons, that's what they crave. They crave flesh, the nature of the flesh, the temptations of the flesh. All right, go ahead.
Well, one of the things, you know, that I want to point out from when we talk about these things, we are not lifting up demons. We are not lifting up Satan. We are not lifting up that demonic realm. We are children of the light, and we want to expose those things. And if you're listening now and you deal with different things, you got different habits, you got different desires, and you got that little, I'll call it that scratchy feeling on the inside, that's the Holy Spirit trying to get a hold of you, saying, we got a thing here we got to deal with. And it's one of those things that we want to pour light into your life so you can expose those things in the dark that are influencing you.
This, I want to read this next section here because I thought this was really good. This is pick up, or were you going to go on?
Go.
It's because he runs into this guy several days later. See, that man didn't experience any freedom. And to the point of our episode today, what we're saying is that man had a will. Mm-hmm. And even though we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we don't have authority over people's wills. Did you start going down that road, you're going to start getting into witchcraft. By the way, the working definition of witchcraft is the attempt to control somebody. The attempt to control somebody by any spirit or any means other than the Holy Spirit. And if you're thinking that you are, because you're enlightened or you're smart or you have revelation or you're whatever, you think you can just control people, you are quickly getting on the highway of witchcraft. I would encourage you to stay away from that. Let the Holy Spirit work. We can pray, and we intercede as the Holy Spirit intercedes. We pray as Jesus prays. Remember, he forever makes intercession. He's the head. The intercession that we engage in when it comes to people, it's not our own intercession in this sense. We're not making stuff up. We're yielding as the body to the intercession of Jesus, the head, concerning that person's destiny, concerning their will, concerning these different things. But we are not scripting those prayers. If you start writing your own prayer and then rehearsing and rehashing them in your, quote, prayer time, you might be engaging in witchcraft and not even know it. I would just encourage you to be watchful. Get into the scriptures. Be watchful about that kind of activity. It doesn't matter if you agree with what they're doing or you don't like what they're doing. The Holy Spirit helps us. Romans says that we don't know how to pray as we ought. It's not that you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray as we ought. And the Holy Spirit gives you by way of Jesus the head. He's the one who's helping us, giving us the unction, giving us the prayer that we need for that situation. We're not praying our own will. We're not praying our own desire upon another person. Witchcraft, folks, stay out of that. But as the Holy Spirit gives unction, we pray. And the Lord engages people all over the place, praying about certain individuals and different aspects of their life. Once again, we are not praying our own prayer. We're not praying what we think needs to be done. And so this is why that guy didn't get free, because he had set his will. He didn't want to be free. I mean, this is a vivid display here of this spirit speaking out. But he didn't want to get free. So anyways, Brother Hagin ran into this guy on the street several days later, and he stopped him, engaged in conversation. He wasn't crazy. He had all of his mental faculties. And as I talked to him, I found out what kind of spirit he had. It was a religious spirit. People need to know there are such spirits. They make people act very religious. Actually, this fellow had three evil spirits in him. The others were deceiving and lying spirits. He believed in a mixture of some Bible along with Eastern religions. He leaned more towards the Eastern religions. I talked to him about this. I said, those beliefs are not scriptural. They're not according to the New Testament. He replied, Bible or no Bible, I like it this way, and I'm going to stay with it. I said, anytime you want to get rid of those devils, come see me. But as long as you want it that way, that's the way it's going to be. And again, he said, that's the way I want it.
Yeah. And then some of these people, these things that the way they influence them, it brings in a change in their body to where they can become sick.
Definitely.
You know, those demonic spirits hanging around, if you live in a swamp all the time, eventually you're going to get an infection someplace.
Leech.
And yeah. And so we need to be cautious of this. And the thing is Brother Hagin did not despise this man. He loved on him. He loved him. And I'm sure he walked away and prayed for this guy.
Oh, sure.
That he would have that revelation.
Lord, open his
that
eyes.
That he would open his eyes and see what he's grabbed a hold of.
Free will prevails. Yep. Free will prevails. That's just the way it is. I mean, these are spiritual laws here. And he says, with people like that, you just got to walk off. Mm-hmm. And you got to leave them when they want it that way. Derek Prince, I'm making this up. I haven't heard this, but, you know, we might could coin him as like the father of modern deliverance ministry. You know, it started in the 80s and just had a powerful ministry. I mean, his ministry before that was powerful. His story is a very neat story. Look up Derek Prince. But Derek Prince says this, deliverance is for the desperate. Come back when you're desperate. Some people just don't want to be free.
Yeah.
Now, it's delusion, it's deception, it's a lie, because total freedom is Christ, mm-hmm. You know, life with Christ. But some people just don't want it. So, you know, when you encounter a situation like that, this is why you got to be spirit-led. You are not going to wake up one day, decide you're going to go down the street to so-and-so's house, and have it your way. You got to be led in these things.
Boy, if I could do that, I'd silence those dogs in the neighbor's yard.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So, your authority, you have ultimate authority, particularly in those things that concern you, mm-hmm. which would be your spouse, your family, your children, your property. And then your authority extends in a spiritual sense in your particular geographical location. And sometimes, and there are people that have been promoted in the spirit, hallelujah, that their authority may extend over a region or a territory. Maybe even God has promoted their function and their outworking on a national level. But when it comes to national things, typically the body works together as one.
That's right.
And we were talking about this before the podcast, that it's not necessarily, Pastor Frank, you know, he has all authority over the United States. I'm not saying that it doesn't have a national level. The Greek word would be metron, or, you know, a national level anointing that he's called to speak on a national level, minister on a national level. I'm not saying that, but what we're talking about is we are uniquely united within a body, and we function together as one. And so the body of Christ needs to come together as one concerning national things or international things. That's another podcast, but what I'm saying is that you particularly have complete authority over those things that concern you. Mm-hmm. And so you can go into your workplace and you can begin to pray. You can get together with the Holy Ghost and begin to pray and take authority over demonic activity and spiritual influences that are affecting negatively the workplace. Or maybe you live in an apartment complex. You could take authority over those things. I just heard a story. There's a friend of mine, Brandon Brim. He lives in California, and they had moved into this apartment complex in Hollywood. And one of their neighbors came to him upset one day and said, "What did you tell them? I didn't have any troubles until you moved in here." It was a lady. I don't know if she talked as gruff as that, but she was so mad at him. And what had happened is they just started praying. They started taking their authority over that apartment complex. And what was going on is through their prayer, through the authority that they were taking over that which concerned them personally, it allowed for a, quote, house cleaning. And what happened is their prayers began to move out people that were being used by demonic spirit to cause chaos and strife and trouble in that apartment complex there. And so that's what I'm saying. You can use your authority, particularly, specifically, in the matters that concern you. But you're not going to go down to, you know, Susanna down the street just because you don't like something and think that you're going to tell her what to do, and then you're going to have some sort of spiritual authority to back up whatever you've made up that morning that you didn't like, and it's going to be done. Friend, that's getting really close to witchcraft. And see, that's what evil spirits try and do. See, that's the whole thing behind, like, spells and incantations. We're going to control. We're going to dominate. It'll be our way in this situation. That's witchcraft.
You know, I think that's one of the things that Jesus tried to do when it comes to his apostles and the disciples when he sent out the 70. And they came back, and this is in Luke 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then in verse 20, he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. He was pulling them back. They were getting excited. They were going to step in possibly into that demonic realm of witchcraft there, thinking that they had something they did not have. And he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Wow.
We need to keep our eyes on the light, on him.
On the light.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You have authority, friend. You have authority. Notice, now I don't have all the scriptures in front of me because I didn't look this up ahead of time. But just, you know, you biblical scholars, just think with me here. Of all the places where demons were cast out, et cetera, et cetera, I mean, there's dozens of scriptures. The point of the observation for the reader is the authority over the demonic spirit, not over the person. See, the person was set free once that demonization or possession or whatever, once that was removed from them. Well, for example, I'm thinking of the woman who was bent over by a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She had a crook in her back, you know, a pretty severe one, 18 years bound. But the moment that spirit of infirmity was cast off, cast out, removed from her, what happened? She stood straightway. Mm-hmm. So even though in that particular story we have a little bit of an encounter with the woman who was bound, but yet the overarching point is somebody who is being bound, oppressed by a demonic spirit, they receive total freedom. The eyes of their understanding can be enlightened now. They will see the light once that power of darkness has been removed out of their life. So a lot of these stories, the focal point has nothing to do with the person. Listen, because we're not exerting authority over a person's will. That person, once they're free, once they see, once they see the light, once they now have a revelation, once now they realize, wow, this veil, this darkness where they couldn't see before, but now that darkness has been removed, and now they see what was right before them the whole time, they're going to be able to answer to the Lord for themselves. The point is, you have authority over the spirit, the evil spirit, the demon. You didn't have authority over the person's will. Jesus didn't come in and tell the woman what to do. He told the spirit of infirmity what to do, and the woman received her freedom.
Can I read a cool story that Brother Hagin had in here?
Yeah. Yes, please.
He said, I once heard a spirit-filled psychiatrist who donated time to charity hospitals in the area. In one mental institution, he decided to experiment with a man who hadn't spoken in 3 years. The man stared straight ahead with no expression, like a statue. The doctor said, I laid hands on him every day and said, if there are any evil spirits here, I rebuke them and command every one of them to leave in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the other doctors weren't around, the doctor would lay hands on the patient and pray out loud over him 5 minutes a day in tongues. If the other doctors were around, he used wisdom, knowing they wouldn't be able to understand what he was doing, and he'd pray silently. In 10 days' time, the patient was talking. In 30 days, he was sent home as cured. The doctor helped other patients as well. God honors faith, and the Spirit of God knows how to pray. He's the author of prayer.
Yeah, these are spirits that those people did not want on them. They were not embracing them and stuff, especially those spirits of infirmity. That lady that was bent over all those years, she did not want that spirit on it. And that's where we can go in and deal with those spirits. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they want to keep.
Some people don't know that their situation is particularly caused by some sort of demon spirit.
Right, right. Right.
But you can have discernment. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, hey, look, here's the solution to this. Do you want to be free?
Right.
And boy, I, you know, when it comes to, you just read that story about doctors and whatnot. When it comes to spirits of infirmity in particularly, now not every sickness is a demon, but surely some are. Some people just are dealing with the fruit of the situation. So they're trying to just pick the fruit. But if you don't get rid of the root, then the fruit's going to come back at some point. And so in some situations, not all sicknesses, not all diseases, but surely some are, if the root cause is a demon spirit, a spirit of infirmity, then discernment in that situation, revelation by way of the Holy Ghost to say, this is what's going on, here's the root issue. Then you say to this person, here's what I believe is going on, and here's, you know, how, you know, I think we need to go about resolving this situation. And if they say yes, then you could take authority over that spirit of infirmity and cast it out, and that person will be healed.
Correct.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
In fact, if the sickness and disease is a demonic spirit and you use spiritual authority, the word of the Lord, the name of Jesus, release that dunamis power by way of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, 100% of the time, if that's the situation, in particularly, I mean, we have authority, and the Word of God can heal and restore. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking, since we're talking about authority over spirits, I'm just keeping it in this frame. But if that's the situation, and that diagnosis by way of the Holy Ghost becomes clear, and that person is willing to be released by way of the Word of the Lord, then those situations can be remedied 100% every time. Hallelujah. Now, once again, not all sickness, not all disease is because of a demon, but surely some are.
Yes.
One of the things we got to keep in mind, and that is, I brought along this morning a copy of Brother Hagin's book on concerning spiritual gifts. And we got to realize that we are given spiritual gifts to deal with different things in this realm, this spirit realm here. And he goes on in chapter 19 of this book, and he's talking about the gift of discerning of spirits.
Oh, that's good.
And he just kind of summarizes the different categories of these gifts, and he calls these the revelation gifts. The word of wisdom gives us a revelation of the mind and the purpose of God. The word of knowledge gives us a revelation of things in the present or past. And discerning of spirits gives us insight into the spirit realm. So when we say someone has a gift of discerning of spirits, they are looking into the spirit realm. They can see both the demonic and they can see
the
good.
That's it.
And we that is one gift that really needs to be sought after in the body of Christ, a discerning of spirits. We also need the gift of the word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, so we know they can work together and in conjunction that we can bring light into people's lives.
Let me jump in here, and then Christine, I think you're going to read something that's so powerful. But along the, you know, since we're brought up the discerning spirits, we need to thank the Lord.
Yes.
When the Holy Ghost, by the way, those are the gifts of the Spirit. There is He wills, okay? But many times He will utilize somebody in a particular gift often. So because those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are as the Spirit wills, really technically anybody could function in those gifts because the Holy Spirit could determine to use you in any one of them and at any time. But the overarching point is typically, it seems, that He utilizes somebody many times in a particular one or in several. But on the discerning of spirits, it's very important, and Bob, I'm glad, I mean, you brought the distinction out there, is that the operation of discerning of spirits is insight or revelation or the ability to see and know and understand what's going on in the spirit realm on both sides. I would say I would be cautious as somebody that never has any insight or understanding or wisdom concerning what's going on the angelic or the light side. If there's like this obsession with dark things, I would be cautious, encourage that person, strengthen them. Maybe there's an assignment or strategy against them. The discerning of spirits is not just about what devils are doing, okay? That person needs to be able to function on both sides. They should be seeing both demonic activity and angelic activity at the same time. We had a precious man in our church for years, Ernie. Bless you, Ernie. Love
yes.
you, brother.
Yes.
He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he really functioned in the discerning of spirits. And he would regularly see where angels were in the room. And many times it was confirmed by other witnesses as well. But what I'm saying is he functioned in that. But then there would be times he would come up to me and he would have insight and knowledge by way of the Holy Ghost on what was going on a demonic side. But he had a... I'm going to use this word. It's used poorly, but he had a balance. All right. Now, there's no natural balance. What I'm saying is, because it's as the Holy Spirit wills, what I'm saying is you should be cautious if somebody never has any insight on what the angels are doing. The Holy Ghost wants us to know what the angels are doing. And if nothing else, bring awareness to angels because it creates an uplifting to the people to know, hey, there's an angel there, or this is going on here, or that is happening here. It's just not always about demons. All right.
In Brother Hagin's book, it says, you don't need to deal with a spirit in every case of healing, but if you have to, the Lord will show you. The way I see it, God is an intelligent being, and I'm an intelligent being, and He can tell me if an evil spirit is present.
To this, folks. Listen to this next statement here.
I go as much by what He doesn't say as I do by what He does say.
Say that one more time.
I go as much by what He doesn't say as I do by what He does say.
That is so key.
If He doesn't say anything, I don't try to deal with an evil spirit. I go on and minister healing to the person. What is strange is that I'll be led to minister healing to in one instance, and then in seemingly an identical case, I'll have to deal with a spirit. I don't understand it, but I know from experience it works that way. You can't judge one case by another.
So key, friend. Listen, I know we've kind of spent a little more time today talking about demons. Well, our whole thing is about authority. And so we have been given authority over that realm, that dark realm. Demons, snakes, scorpions. We're not talking about the natural creature, the animal, the metaphor. So obviously our point of authority is aimed directly at that, demons, etc. But we don't go around thinking there's a demon around every corner or absolutely everything, everywhere is a demon hiding or lurking. Sure, there are plenty of demons. I don't know how many. There are bunches. Too many. But I like that
there's
right there.
More of us than there is of them.
Hallelujah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe there is enough to hide behind every tree. I don't know how many trees there are. But the point is, that was so good. I mean, that's like wisdom. I mean, that's basic, but such wisdom. Listen, if God doesn't say anything, don't make something up. In particularly, because he referenced healing, for praying for healing, it may not be a spirit unless the Holy Ghost brings a discerning of spirits, function, and activity to your spirit, brings an illumination about the situation. If he doesn't say anything, don't make something up. Listen, the end game or the end goal is that person be healed. And the word can repair, restore. It has the ability to move around, shift matter, substance, or things. So the word can heal. The word alone can heal. It doesn't have to be a demon. They can still be healed. The word can heal them. But if the Holy Spirit prompts you and brings illumination about the situation, and there's a spirit of infirmity, say, well, then act on that. But if he doesn't say that, then just minister the word to them. So good.
Amen.
So good.
Amen. It's good.
You know, when we talked about, where I talked about the gifts of the Spirit, there in 1 Corinthians 12 says, do all the gifts of healings, do all have speak with tongues, do all interpret? And then in verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. I heard that translated one time. They said, earnestly desire the gifts that you need at that moment.
That's it.
Yes.
Amen. That's it.
We need all of the gifts functioning in the body of Christ. Sometimes we might need all the gifts functioning in our life.
Yeah.
But we look at that situation and we allow the Holy Spirit to deposit in us what needs to be said, what needs to be done. And if he says, move on down the line, we need to move on down the line.
Yeah. Yep. It's on him. Hallelujah. He's the head. We just do as he leads.
Boy, we can get into that head-body relationship there.
Let's close with this. We're about out of time on the podcast. Let's close with this thought here. I want to read this. I think this will really hit home in a lot of practical realities, you know, a lot of day-to-day realities that maybe you face, or you know somebody that this would really be like immediate. You could put this into practice immediately. And this is on page 73. If you happen to get the book, this is page 73, chapter 8, and he talks about this. If you learn how to exercise spiritual authority, that it'll work in your home. You can take authority over any unseen force in your home. Even if people within your home are dabbling, knowingly or unknowingly, in demonic activity, bringing in all kinds of craziness into the home. Listen, if that's your home, you can use your authority over the atmosphere. Now, we're not talking about physically controlling somebody, but we are talking about taking authority over spiritual, dark spiritual forces that are trying to influence your family members or whatever the situation is in your home. And he goes on to say this. He said, I've heard of women who exercise their spiritual authority when their unsaved husbands came home arguing and fighting. The women had learned how to quietly and calmly rebuke the evil spirits behind the situation and claim authority over them, and the situation changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe I've done that with some children.
Yeah, I believe you have. We've done that in various situations. I had to take authority within the perimeters of things that we were stewards over. Hallelujah.
And keep in mind, husbands, this does not give you authority over your wife and everything. Okay? Keep that in mind.
That's right.
You cannot go in and say, stop doing this, stop doing that, I believe it's wrong. You don't have that kind of authority. But you sit down with her, the head-body relationship, and you work that out and find out what needs to be done.
Because they are a human being with a will.
Yes.
And you are not going to think that you are, I don't care who you are, husband, wife, daughter, in-law, outlaw, whatever. You're not going to go up to somebody and think you can control their will friend. That's witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said he learned how to do this years ago when some of my relatives would get extremely angry. I took authority over the situation. They knew when I did it because they looked at me with a startled expression, and they straightened out immediately. I wasn't exercising authority over their will.
Yeah.
He said, however, but over the spirit that made them act the way they did. So I think we'll stop there, but once again, you have authority. And I pray, we pray, we come into agreement that this has been illuminating to you, that you've been encouraged, strengthened. Something's just risen up on the inside of you. Your spirit man has just come alive. It's grown. He's grown. Your spirit man has grown in the name of Jesus. As you've been receiving the word of the Lord through this podcast, your spirit man has grown. And I believe you've come up and your understanding has been enlightened. And you're going to see now where you can start using your authority in areas where you haven't been. Listen, you're not just passive. Once again, we're not talking about taking control over somebody's will, but we're talking about taking control over a situation, taking control of the atmosphere. The thing that specifically concerns you, you can rise up, take your place, take authority over any demonic spirit or force that would try and influence that situation negatively against God's word. Take authority over that friend and start seeing changes. Start seeing situations change. Start seeing light come into that situation. Start seeing the atmosphere get freed up, become peaceful. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Any closing thoughts, guys?
I just want to say, in your prayer life, be active, not reactive.
Oh.
Take authority.
Yeah. Take your seat regularly. Every day. Put on your armor, take your seat.
Hallelujah. Amen. Christina, why don't you close us out in prayer?
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've got to study the word and study the subject. We ask you, Lord, that we would get everything we need from it, Lord. No more being overtaken by the devil, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we are equipped. We're going to walk in it. Lord, we thank you that we already walk in victory. Thank you, Lord, that we see that now. Lord, you've already gotten the victory for us, so we thank you, Lord, that we see that now. We thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to pray. You're teaching us when things are spirits and when things are just sicknesses. And we just thank you, Lord, for everything we learned in the series, and we just ask you, Lord, that we would glorify you.
Yes.
We ask you, Lord, that this teaching would get into the hands of the people that need it, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name. Friend, you've been listening to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. We're giving you scriptural strategies and motivation to get out there and get stuff done for your king. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Hey, listen, send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Or call us, 870-741-9099. How can we pray for you? How can we stand with you? How can we come into agreement with you? Let us know. Share the podcast with a loved one. Until next Thursday, be blessed, my friends.